I thank the Lord for his way with me, for the many blessings he bestowed upon my life. It hasn't been easy, but I'm thankful this morning for the ground I hold. And I want you to pray for me. Every one of us have, if we are saved this morning, we've had to value our salvation very much. We've had to count it real precious, haven't we? In Mark 8 and 36, we have a scripture that I'd like to bring to us. Mark 8 and 36. We'll start with the 34th verse. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Now, folks, I think it's time that every one of us reevaluate our life, our souls. I know there's been times in my life in the past that I wasn't as careful as I should have been. I was careless. But the older I get and the more I go this way, I'm reminded that my soul is worth more than the whole world. And your soul is worth more than the whole world. So sometime we're going to have to reevaluate our lives and see just where we stand before the Lord. It's time to do it, folks. We don't have much time left. Now, to evaluate something is to determine the value of, to appraise. See what I've got on board. See what I've got on board. Now, to reevaluate would be to determine the value of something afresh. Are you still the same as you were when you started out with the Lord? Have you still got the place in God's presence that you had when you started out? And has it been growing a little bit, or have we diminished, or are we standing still, or going backwards, or going forwards? Where are we today? There's a number of things that are happening in this old world. It grieves my heart when we see people who have been really established in the Lord to go back. It breaks our hearts. In fact, I'm almost come to a place where I'm almost shock-proof. I hear something, and it grieves my soul. In fact, that's part of my trouble today, I guess. I have quite a battle with blood pressure. It's what's going on around me and what I'm hearing and the falling away that's going on amongst us today, folks. It's time to reevaluate our lives and see just where we stand before God. All right now, the value of a soul is worth more than the whole world. But I find a lot of folks today that are putting a lot of stress and emphasis on how much I'm making, how much I've got in the bank. Selling out for far short of what God would have us to. May Lord help us this morning. I think of how Paul valued his life. In the Philippian letter, it tells us about Paul. And I want us to examine ourselves this morning as we go into this and just see where we are. If we've lost our first love, God says, except we repent, he's going to take our candle away from us. Yes, he is. If we're not up the road from where we were when we started, we're going to lose. In another one of the churches, he said, because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. May the Lord help us this morning to examine ourselves and see where we are before the Lord. All right, Paul, he'd gained some good things. He'd done a wonderful thing. He said he could stand before God free of the guilt of man, and he was free before God, and he'd paid a full price. This is what I'm talking about. Paying a full price and keeping it and going on. Don't go backing up any place. Or in the third chapter of Philippians, Paul counted something here. He says in the 8th verse, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and to count them but dung, offal, waste, that I may win Christ. Are we counting that so this morning? Are we still counting it so? Maybe we counted it so one time, but are we still counting it this morning this way? And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. It's important that we know him, folks. And the power of a resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. It's necessary that we have this thing. It's necessary that we be found when he comes spotless, having sold out to him, having kept the faith, having been ready to be offered. If by any means, he said, I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Striving. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. God's got a reason for you and me being here. We were born, and we're going to have to die. And in all this time between birth and death, he's given us a chance to be saved, ready to meet him. Paid a price. There's an apprehension that God wants us to get from God. Be filling our place, understanding him, paying the price. Take some suffering and say, go forward, no backwards. Forward. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He had some understanding, but he wanted some more. Adept in this thing. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Don't turn back, folks. You got your face to the plow, go forward. If you once set your face forward, don't go backwards to anything. If God said it was wrong when you got saved, he said it's wrong today. Don't turn around. Don't pick up anything that's in the back there. He's forgetting those things that are back. If you got some forgetting to do, let's forget it today, folks. Let's not go backwards anymore. Let's repent and get ready for the day that's coming out there ahead of us. All right. You're forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press for the mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's go forward, folks. Examine our hearts this morning. Have we gone backwards a little bit? We've gone back to anything. It was wrong once, it's wrong today. Go back and pick it up. And all right, so let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. You right with God? Go forward. Forget those things that are past now. If you've gone back and done anything you shouldn't have, let's get it fixed this morning. Amen. Let's start this meeting out right, folks. Too many people wait till the last day. Then they have to have a drug out of them. This is not the way God wants us to respond to him. This is a willing service. Be willing to measure up right now before the meeting starts. And God will bless your souls. And then you got a whole 10 days to just feed on the good word that's going to come. I'm no great preacher, but listen, God's with me. May the Lord help us now this morning. If we got backwards, let's come forward now. Let's get back again. Let's press on. Put those things behind. And as many of us be perfect, be just like this, every one of you. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, all right, God wants to move us up now. He says, God shall reveal even this unto you. I trust the Lord to reveal to our hearts this morning. If we've lost any ground, if we got it, we've been back to something. May the Lord help us. Paul found this out in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Moses said, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Chose this way. Set his face this way. Esteeming the reproach of Christ of greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Oh, can we count it so? How valuable it's going to be able to stand before God, having done all we could, lived right, no reproach in our life, right up to the very minute, faithful to God. He said he can, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had recompense. Folks, let's think about this. What's the value of your soul this morning? He says, for he had recompense, under the recompense of the reward. He esteemed to serve God better than to have the riches or the pleasures of sin for a season. What's your soul worth this morning? Is it worth going back and giving up for a paltry little something or other? By faith, well, I'm not going to read any more of that. That's enough. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. May the Lord help us. Are you esteeming the riches of Christ better than all this out there in the world? Folks, there's a falling away today. Because iniquity abounds, the love of many. Waxing cold. There's a great falling away. And the Lord stirs this morning. If we've lost some ground, let's pick up. God will reveal it to you. Don't keep it going on that way, but turn around. Start going for God again. Get whatever's wrong out of the way. All right, count the cost. Luke 14. Count the cost. In the 14th chapter of Luke. Pray for me. Lord, help us here. All right. 14 and 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. What do we put first? What are we putting first today? And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost? Are you counting the cost this morning? Whether ye have sufficient to finish it? Have you ever been along the roadside and you've seen partly built buildings? Maybe you just see the foundation left. Sometimes you'll see the foundation and you'll find the framework on it left. How sad to start something and not finish it. It'd be better if you never heard, if you never started, than to start on this way and go back. But I almost not to fall or fail in this thing. It's the greatest thing in the world to be ready to meet God. God help us this morning to wake up. May the Lord help us. All right. Sit down and weigh this thing out. Am I going to be lost going on what I'm doing? I'm going to be ready to meet God. All right. You count the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it. Count it, folks. It ain't worth it to lose your soul. Less happily, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. Folks, it's a reproach to the cause of Christ when we go back, when we fail of the grace of God. God has promised us sufficient grace. He's promised, I shall meet all of your needs according to his riches and glory. We'll have to fall by the wayside. Praise God, we can make it. All behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Oh, God's grace is for us this morning. Yes. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? You go weigh that thing out. If you got God on your side, you got everything. We worry a lot about the gifts. We need the gifts in the church. But for some reason, we're not having the gifts. Why are we not having the gifts? Some of us have left the first love. Some have gone back. Some deceived. Some got to the place where they're reprobates, cast out. Can't come back. May the Lord help us not to get to that place. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he setteth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Now this is when we start this thing, it's from the beginning to the end. There are no side paths, and there's no way to get up to heaven any other way, but right through the grace from day to day that God gives us if we yield ourselves to him. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? If we've lost our salt, what are we good for? But to be trodden underfoot. It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. May the Lord help us this morning. Yeah. If we're sharding anywhere, may the Lord help us. It doesn't take too much to lose out with God. Let's look at 1 Samuel 13. 1 Samuel 13. Now, you folks pray for me. 1 Samuel 13. The king Saul, the first king of Israel, was in the war with the Philistines. And the fifth verse, 1 Samuel 13:5, and the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Mishmash, eastward from Beth Aven. And when the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and high places and in pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days, according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings, and he offered the burnt offering. He did something that was not his place to do. He got out of order, folks. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of the offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Mishmash, therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord, and I forced myself. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. Folks, when we get out of the will of God, there's a forcing. We are kept by the power of God through faith. And if you've gone back this morning, if you're back of light, walking back, you have forced yourself someplace to get out of the will of God. We don't just get out of the will of God like that. We are kept by the power of God. All right, now. So he says, now he got out of the will of God. He forced himself. And he offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But he lost his kingdom because he forced himself out of the will of God. This is what we do, folks, when we walk back of light. We force ourselves somewhere. We'll see. We'll remember the forcing that took place. We deliberately did that over God's will. May the Lord examine our hearts this morning and see if we're walking in all the light that God has shed upon our pathway. May the Lord help us examine ourselves this morning. And we know that King Saul, from then on, he could easily say, now he went into deception. He could easily say, well, I've kept all the commandments of the Lord. This is where we get, folks, when we walk back of light. The first time off, the next time Saul was sent out to destroy the Amalekites, every one of them. And they went out. What did they come back with? They come back with the king and the best of the cattle and the best of the things for an offering to the Lord. And Samuel said, well, what meaneth the lowing of the cattle and the bleeding of the sheep, if you destroyed everything? Oh, I have kept the whole will of God. We get off in deception, folks. Too many in deception today. I'm all right. There's nothing wrong with me. I've been keeping the whole will of the Lord. But have we? I examine myself, reevaluate my soul before God all the time. It pays, folks. So easy to get away, so easy to be misled. Saul finally took his own life, fell on his own sword. No place to come back. Deceived, because he forced himself a little bit. He didn't recover himself. Then he could say, well, I have kept the whole commandment of the Lord, when he hadn't. And we can be so deceived that way. Just a little forcing out of the way, and we're wrong. May the Lord help us this morning. Amen. Now Esau, in Hebrews 12 and 14... Hebrews 12 and 14. It says here, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligent lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble many. you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Have you let down for some little old pleasure in this world? I know I'm going to mention something, and I'm not going to enhance it much, but just to let you know that I failed the Lord not long ago. I know that the saints teach against coffee and tea. They've taught against it, but I know I'm feeling it's come amongst us. They've taught against that. Now, I gave up coffee before I never ever come amongst the saints because I knew it was hurting me. But I also promised the Lord I wouldn't drink tea. But I found myself making iced tea one summer. And I said, now, Lord, that is not right. I made a vow to you. And I said, I don't have to have that stuff. It was just a matter of going along. I see other people doing it. But I had made a vow, folks. And I said, I'll never do it again. And I won't. I won't. There's some other things going on amongst us, too. That's just a little thing. But I mention it because I talk about myself, and I'm not talking about you. But I found myself wrong. And I said, Lord, never again. That's just a little thing. Esau sold his whole birthright for a mess of pottage. He said, I'm starving to death. Give me some of that. And Jacob was smart enough to say, give me your birthright and you can have it. Yeah. The devil's pretty smart.
Amen.
You give me your birthright and you can have it. A lot of folks selling out for less than that, maybe. Just a little pleasure of sin for a season. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. Folks, we got an eternal blessing waiting for us.
Yes,
if we'll be faithful to the end. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Oh, how we can turn loose of our soul and put ourselves in the devil's hands so easy. So easy.
Lord,
folks are doing this all the time.
Yes, yes.
I'm not looking for great revivals. I'm looking for the church to get measured up. I'm looking for God's people to get ready to meet God. Very few sinners coming to the altar anymore. And I won't receive sec reports about the things that are done great masses around the world. I will not receive it. I know when I was amongst them, they went out for numbers and money. And in this end of time, they can't persuade me that they're any different than they were then. You can't go by their reports. There are honor fairies out there, yes. And there's hunters out after them. Thank God for the hunters. But folks, the church needs to be stirred. God's people need to be woke up. Walking back of light. May the Lord help us. Esau lost his birthright. It's because he felt he was starving to death. And he wasn't. Couldn't have been that hungry. Probably had 3 square meals a day, and he couldn't have been that hungry. But he sold out for a little thing like that and never could get it back again. May the Lord help us. In Luke 12, Jesus was asked to speak to my brother, 13th verse. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, Now, folks, we better talk things over with God and not within ourselves. But don't talk within ourselves. Got this man in trouble. And he said, He thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room whether to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruit and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said, How many of us are just at ease today? Everything's all right, drifting along. stiffing on the brink of eternity. Everything's going fine. Got a lot of money in my pocket. Here, jingle. Got a bank account. Reaching out for goods. Reaching out for everything. And the Lord, I know I'm not going to talk to the Lord about this. I'm talking to myself. But God had another thing here. Another answer. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So it is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. May the Lord help us to evaluate, reevaluate our soul this morning. See where we are. Are we deceived? Are we taken off in any way from the straight and narrow path? May the Lord help us examine ourselves. Now in Luke 16, we find that we have an account of a man. It was too late for him to do anything about it in Luke 16. Luke 16, we find 16 and 19, and there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and he was buried. We're all going to die someday.
Yeah.
Some of us sooner than later. And when you get older and your health starts to fall away, it makes you think about these things a little bit more. Lord, how long? How long am I going to be here? How long are you going to give me opportunity? Every once in a while, someone's life is snuffed out. Gone. No more chance. This rich man died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He could see over there, but it looks like Lazarus didn't see him at all. He talked with Abraham. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. No more chance to get fixed up. We got it today. We've got opportunity. For I am tormented in this frame. Now, you know a drop of water wasn't going to do that man any good. That would never do that man any good. We're going to take more than that to cool him off. But Abraham said, Son, remember thou that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus with his evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Too late for this man. Don't set his course. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would come pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. No way to get from one place to the other. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Go back and warn my brothers. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. May the Lord help us, folks, to realize this. No, this is our day of opportunity. Hear the prophet. Hear the preacher. Listen to him. Oh, it just seems like we're drifting carelessly on the brink of eternity, and too many folks think they never had it any better. But folks, it's desperate and it's serious. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. Now, it's not everybody that says, Lord, Lord. Did you not know that? In Matthew 7, chapter 7. 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not all going to make it. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven.
Amen.
It's not everyone that says, now if we say we're walking in the light and we're in darkness, right here is where I want to read that. That one in John, 1 John. 1 John here, let me get it. I want to read it because if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we walk in the light. All right? If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is going to get into heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And Lord, help us this morning to realize that. And there was a man in Matthew 22. There was a man who associated with the people of God. And a great supper was made. And the many were invited. Seemed like he got in with the crowd. Seemed like he got in with the crowd. It says here, Matthew 22. Some of them wouldn't come. So he says, ninth verse, go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, my friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? We're going to have to be up and doing when God comes. Be ready when he comes. And he was speechless. Folks, this is the way some of us are going to be. Speechless. Shocked to death, almost. I thought I was going to get in up there. We can sit right amongst the congregation of the saints and be lost. Back of light. Deceived. We're going to have to be walking in the light. From the time you're saved. Well, before you're saved. I'm going to go back further than that. When the Holy Spirit starts to talk into your heart, you will have to walk in that light. Thank the Lord I did. I wasn't amongst you all my life. I was 34 years old before I was ever saved. But I tell you, God did something for my soul. I feel I've failed him many times through ignorance and not being just like I ought to be. But, oh, I tell you, the last few years, God's done something for me that's called me to settle down deep in him. It means something to be saved. Saying I'm a Christian. And to prove it by our lives. Prove it by our lives, folks. Where's your garment? Have you got it on? That beautiful white garment. And the man was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. May you weigh out this thing. Prove your calling. Live like God wants you to live. Measure up whatever's wrong. Let's don't be found short any place. If we've ever had light on something and we find ourselves walking back of that light, it's better measure ourselves up to. That's right. Now there's such a thing as going to such a place that we'll be deluded. And there's no recovery from that thing. In 2 Thessalonians here, we have a little scripture here. We like to read it to you because we want you to get it. 2 Thessalonians. Let's see. Timothy. Let me find it here. 2 Thessalonians. It tells us here that if, and it, we'll start with about the 10th verse, I guess. No, 11. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they received not the love of the truth. If you don't receive the love of the truth, folks, not willing to lay down everything that's false and wrong, if we don't receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, you can go over to the Romans in the first chapter, and you can read a whole catalog of what happens to people in delusion. I'm not going to read it. It's no good. It's bad. The world is full of this thing today. They're in delusion. And they have pleasure in them to do these things. They scoff at righteousness. They're doing horrible things. It's out there in the world. And they can creep in amongst us if we're not careful, folks. May the Lord help us. You can read that chapter, first chapter of Romans, to read for yourself. All right. Now, there was one man over in the New Testament that I believe he did a real good job. Let's look at Luke 15. He went away from Father's house. He had it made. He was in Father's house, but he thought he knew better than the Father. One of two sons. Let's read that. A man, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living, unto them. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. It's what we do, folks, when we get away from the Lord. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. That's what the world calls a good time. Pleasures of sin for a season. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. It's all right as long as you've got a lot of money out there. You've got a lot of friends. Yeah. You can buy the drinks. Yeah. You can live a loose life. But pretty soon, things happen. You get old. You're not attractive anymore. Pretty soon, the enemy's just got you down to where you're going to have to do something. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Folks, this is a desperate place out there away from God. Who want to be there? I don't want to be there. I encourage you to examine yourselves and see this morning where we are. And when he came to himself, now this is what I want us all to do. He sat right out there in that pig pen and he reevaluated his life. And he said, I have played the fool. That's what he was saying. I have been wrong. And God, his father, he gave him a chance to come back. He gives us a chance to come back too. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? This is the thing we want. To be flourishing spiritually. Fat. Like fatted calves in the stall. But if we're out there, we're starving to death, folks. I will arise. Now, this is what God wants us to do. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. This will get the results. This will get what we need. And am no more worthy to be called thy son. I'm not worthy. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Remember, in the first place, it was give me. Now he says, Lord, make me. Do something for me in my heart. That's what I need. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. You know, this is the way the Lord wants us to do. If we will humble our hearts and say, Lord, I've been wrong. I feel I failed someplace back there, and I want you to forgive me. And if we do that from our hearts, God is faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is what he wants. This is what the son did. He reevaluated his soul. He said, Lord, I know my father's got more servants than him. They got plenty to eat. I hear I'm starving to death out here. I'm going to get back to Father. And he did. He went back to Father. And the father was looking for him. Not only the Father, but it says the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that comes back. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. What is our best robe? That robe of righteousness. Robe of righteousness, that's our best robe. Bring forth the best robe. All it takes is an honest confession to the Lord. And I'll forgive. And put it on him. And put a ring on his hand, a seal. And shoes on his feet. Clothe him thoroughly. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Praise the Lord. Enjoyed themselves. Had a wonderful... I'm not going to talk about that other son. He was worse off than the son this boy was. The self-righteous person's never going to make it.
No,
the brother was self-righteous, and he wouldn't forgive, and he wouldn't forget. But the father was merciful, and he is... And we can't depend on other people to get us to heaven. If we're wrong, we're the one that's going to have to stand before God someday. May the Lord help us. Now, anything we allow in our life that isn't of faith is sin. If we can't conscientiously, faith-believing, when we're doing it, it's wrong. If you got a question mark about something you're doing, don't do it. God put the question mark there. Don't do it. You better be safe than sorry. Why a question mark? If you're convinced that it's right, do it. Heartily as unto the Lord. But if it's a question mark, don't do it. And the same thing can go. If I know to do good and I don't do it, that's sin. If I know to do good and I'm not doing what I know I ought to do, then that's sin. Salvation is living right. Living right for God. Every day. Keeping up with the times. There's a little story in this little book. Might be somebody is just woken up to some new light, maybe. Need to go a little deeper with the Lord. Now, I find in my own experience that I have to measure up right along as I go. So the Lord show me something about myself that I need to die to. Maybe you're sanctified today. Maybe you've had some new light, new understanding about something. I've read this little story a number of times. When Queen Victoria first came to the British throne, the whole of India was not under British rule, and it was only during her reign that Punjab became her possession. At that time, the Maharaja was a mere boy. He was a young man. In order to show his allegiance to the Empress of India, he sent Queen Victoria the wonderful jewel known as the Kohinoor diamond. He gave her a diamond, a beautiful diamond. This magnificent offering was placed in the Tower of London, among the other carefully guarded crown jewels. Some years later, when the Maharaja was a grown man, he paid a visit to England, and of course he went to Buckingham Palace to pay his respects to the Queen. He was taken to the State Apartment, and after bowing to Her Majesty, he requested that he might be allowed to see this diamond. Greatly wondering at his request, the Queen, with her usual kindness and courtesy, gave orders that which should be brought under guard, armed guard, and brought to the Maharaja. After a little time, the priceless jewel was brought in and presented before the young Indian prince. Very reverently, he took it in his hands, and then he walked over to the window where he examined it carefully. Then, while the onlookers gazed in wonder, he turned and knelt at the feet of the queen, saying, with great emotion in his voice, "Madam, I gave you this jewel when I was too young to know what I was doing. I want to give it again in the fullness of my strength, with all my heart and affection and gratitude, now and forever, fully realizing all that I do." There might be somebody here this morning that needs to go a little farther with the Lord. You haven't sinned against the Lord, but you're up against some new light. It's a new understanding. This young man gave it away. Maybe some of you were quite young when you gave your heart to the Lord. Maybe you didn't fully understand a whole lot of things. Maybe you know some more things today. Maybe you want to give in the fullness of your strength, with the full understanding, your life afresh to the Lord.